Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're live. Can we handle the truth? How long, like I said, how long have we gone through trying to tell people the truth only to become enemies of those we're trying to save? Do you have some of those examples? Or give us other examples of lives we live within our communities that if we overcame or faced those lives and overcame them, we would break, our people would break a generational curse. Let's go. Let's do it. Can we handle the truth? I have 512-352-216 and 650. Okay, in that order. Please make sure, if possible, we're not playing in the background. On top of that, it helps if you have headphones in. This way there's no feedback, okay? Hold tight, and let's start with 512.
Shalom, elders. It's Sister Diane from Killeen, Texas.
Shalom, sister with the milk. Talk to us. Can we handle the truth?
Okay, so one of the lies that I have found is that, well, first, the truth. The truth, I see it all over the Bible. Of course, the Bible's nothing but the word truth, right? And in specifically in Jubilees chapter 29 and verse 15, along with Sirach chapter 39 and verse 26, I see through the scripture, I see in those scriptures that in the Jubilees that Jacob gave to his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, milk and butter and cheese and date fruit, dates of the valley, and meat. And I see in the principal things of life, water and salt and wheat. That's bread. That's how you make bread. And then there's wine and there's milk and there's olive oil and honey. And these are all things that I eat. Now, one thing that I don't see in these two verses, but first let me just hurry up and mention that Christ himself, we all know he ate fish with fins and scales. We all know he ate bread and honeycomb. So I'm always sure to eat honey and bee pollen, which is part of the honeycomb. And he even went up to the fig tree. So I see that as he was after some figs. So I eat those too. These are all foods that I eat. And I think we've been lied about what is really food and what isn't. Now, one of the things that I have found, and I'm just sharing what I have found, but everybody's supposed to study to show themselves approved. But what I have found, and I don't know, I no longer eat this so-called food group, is vegetables. I don't see where Jacob gave those to his parents out of all of his substance.
Sister, I'm trying to get into more in-depth scenarios that are really affecting our community. I was wondering how he's going to tie this milk thing in. It's good, but I was really trying to get more of the plaguing societal things that we lie to ourselves about, opposed to the dietary piece.
Okay. So I apologize, but
you know, no apology. Don't worry. But I just want to keep this because I don't want this to go downhill to where we start opening it up into different dialogue outside of us getting to the main point of emphasis that we need to fix our community. So I'm going to place you on hold, and I'm going to call you about some milk. So hold tight. I'm going to call you back, sister. Don't worry about it. We're going to hold tight on that. And I got you, Sister Diane, but thank you. And I know you got milk, and I'm going to get some more from you. 352 area code. She always brings some good points, but we really need to dig down in on this real quick. I'll get back with you, Sister Diane. 352 area code.
All praises to Ahayah Bahashim Yeshaya Wawawa. How you doing, Elder Ricard, Elder Lawyer?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing great. This is Brother Ralph, from the Orlando body. Looking forward to seeing you guys soon, hopefully, brother.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you soon enough. We have a new church about to set up there, so all praises.
Yes, sir. All praises to the Most High. Well, one of the lies, Elder Ricard, that I've seen just have flourished and damaged our communities and the world itself is the medicines, the pharmaceutical companies, all these medicines that we see on that idiot box that's perpetrating constant lies, that's actually tearing our bodies down, keeping us sick, and keeping our communities in a state of confusion, as opposed to having us deal with natural herbs, dandelion roots, things of this nature that will actually help heal the body without the side effects that are keeping us consumed and keeping us in a state of bondage where we can't move forward because we are constantly sick, going back to revisit our doctors. And if we had something, this is one of the reasons why I believe, and I truly believe this, that with these pharmaceutical companies, they would never allow natural herbs and natural healing to come into full fruition simply because it would cut the head off of everything that they've been doing down through the generation to keep us in total bondage. So this is one of the lies that I see in our community that's actually damaging us from the core. So, you know, I know you asked a couple of things, and I don't want to be long-winded either, Elder. I know you were asking about how the lies are dividing friends and foes, and there was another one on overcoming living a lie. I'll just speak to the latter.
Overcoming living a lie. Okay, you got to be quick on that, brother. It sounds like you're about to re-up for another.
I tell you what. I tell you what, brother, we'll stop it right there then. We'll stop it right there because I think I brought forth what I wanted to bring initially anyway. Just wanted to touch on the subjects that you, but looking forward to seeing you. It's been a while. Everything that you brothers are bringing forth, man, keep bringing forth that word, Elder, man. I mean, it is powerful. The Academy, they're hitting. I'm loving it, and I'm in every one.
Praise the Most High.
So,
praise the Most High.
Let's keep it going. All right.
Okay. Maybe I generalized and left it too open. Let me pull back the parameters within a box that we need to really stay at to fix our people. Why? Because I'm sure if Christ said, "All due respect, okay, let's drink some milk, and make sure we use the herbs," that the people would have still allowed him to operate amongst the living. It was the truth that was getting in the way of people's lives that meant, you know what, if you say this truth, you're cut off, you're out of here, or I will kill you, because what you're highlighting is getting in the way of Babylon and my desires in it. We have to really keep this honed in. I think it's part of the scenario where there's certain things we simply don't talk about or touch, knowing the consequences if we say it. What would it mean for my family? What would it mean for my current relationship? What would it mean altogether if I was to tell the truth? These are the things that are plaguing our society that we see every day. But because it tends to be a scenario where we feel there's nothing we can do about it, it's just become a part of the culture. And it's a part of the culture. And so we just ignore it altogether because it's too big of a hill to climb. Those are the things I'm focusing on. Okay. The things that are quote unquote, as the world call it, taboo, if I can use that word, even though that's some garbage. to actually speak about it, knowing that if you say it, you'll be canceled. What are the lies that are politically protected in our society? Let's put it that way. Let's see, going down the line, 216 area code, let's go.
Shalom, Elder. How you doing? It's Deacon Anya, GOCC Cleveland.
Hey, Anya. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good. Blessed by the best, and his name is Ahiah. Blessed to be unto you and the elders. I'm going to horn right in on it. I'm gonna bring it on out, and maybe everybody can focus on it, and that's that evil, good spirit known as the snitch. For years, millennia, this evil plague has held our people back. You talk about arrested development. Colossians 3:25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. But it's opposite of that in the hood. And you can chime in whenever you want, Elder, but this is personifying this weird, and I, you know, being from the street, they called it the G code, which is a bunch of mess. Even when you go into the Bible, even in Romans, one more, then I'll let you, I'll fall back on it. But even in Romans 13:4, it says, for it is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be in fear. For it does not bear the sword in vain. It is God's servant to administer retribution on the wrongdoer. So with that, we need to look at that and change that, because that's holding our people back. It's perpetuating evil in the hood, and our people are lying behind it and allowing it to happen. And with that, I proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Anya. Great point. And I think he explained it clearly himself. But what I want to add to that is the lie is to have that out there, snitches get stitches, or you're not supposed to snitch, and think that doesn't have a profound effect on the downfall of our people.
Mm.
To think that doesn't have a profound effect on us. We don't even understand what message we're putting out there by allowing evil to fester without saying anything in our communities. We don't even understand what that says, what message that are sending to our children. That it's okay to steal, kill, destroy, and not only will you get away with it, the community is supposed to protect you. Man, great point.
Mm-mm.
Anything on that, lawyer? You good?
No, sir. I mean, that's it. I mean, he honed in on it and hit it, and that's it. That's one of the perfect examples.
Yeah. And they got this thing, another thing. I think this is what the conscious community thrives off. You can't knock the hustle.
Right.
I hear that on top of that. These are just ghetto lines. Snitches get stitches, and you can't knock another man's hustle.
Right.
No, the Bible says a just weight for a just measure.
Mm.
If you're bringing something that's beneficial for the community, that's not a hustle. Okay? So, you know, the whole conscious community is playing three-card Molly on YouTube. It's like, yeah, you're the ball. You want to find the ball? Here's the ball. This is what we're used to. With no constructive information on how to get ourselves out of our conditions. The three-card Molly dudes, all of them, guess what? They found YouTube. Oh, yeah, look at my secret syrup. I got this. I got that. You got Armin Rod talking this and that. I got this. I got this. I mean, are you you got polite going around? I mean, listen, this guy, you can stand next to him without him moving. You got on socks and shoes. without taking off your shoes, he got your socks on. This is what's going on in the conscious community, and no one is supposed to say anything. You get your socks with your shoes still on. And this is what goes on, knocking the hustle, another lie we have accepted. All right, let's get the next. Let's get the next next call. Let's see. What are some of the things we deal with in our communities, dysfunctions and all that, that we lie about and cover up in our communities? Let's go. 901 area code.
Hello.
Shalom. 901 area code.
Shalom, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, brother. You're live with the Gathering of Christ Church.
Yes, my name is Dennis, and I'm calling out of Memphis, Tennessee.
Shalom,
one of the biggest problems I see is that our people have strayed away from the laws of God, for one, and that breaks down moral integrity. And once you lose moral integrity, everything else just wastes away.
Okay, so give me an example of lies that we do in our community. You understand? Let me state this again. Maybe I'm not stating it direct enough. What do we cover up in our community? What do we cover up? And allow it to actually perpetuate or become a cultural standard, when really it's a curse on our people? What are those things?
Filth, just all of the filth, lust, promiscuous sex.
I just need one, and I need you to stick on that and give me
okay,
some examples.
Well, the main one that I see is just hate in general, and I want to hone in on hate. Hate is the cause for all problems. It's the cause for all evil in the world, because we see differences in each other, classism, caste system, this, you're that. And if you can't unite around the principles that Christ set forth, which is love, and to love thy neighbor, and to love God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, then you'll never be able to achieve it. I don't care what works you do in the world. If you don't do those works, which are the greatest, you will never, ever achieve peace. And without that peace, if each man can't achieve that peace for himself, then there will always be evil in the world. You may achieve it, but your neighbor may be evil. So it's going to always be that back and forth pulling. So in order to gain that, people need to come into realization of what Christ was teaching. And once everybody comes into realization of what Christ is teaching.
We got to round it up.
Okay, Okay. And once people come into realization of what Christ is teaching, then the world will start changing for the better. And then the wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, because you'll see all the wicked people start to get their just due. And then the righteous will be able to learn from experiencing and seeing what they're going through on how to change their lives and what God is doing for them. And it's very deep, but
okay, brother, I'm about to start to deal with it. I apologize, okay. But you're long-winded, but we're not getting to the end of it.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to be able to say that, and I'm fine with that, you know.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you.
I really need, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry for that, but I really need y'all to be able to get your thoughts together and be able to quantify it to make it good dialogue for radio. Okay? All due respect, we can't be talking without a conclusion for minutes on end and don't get an understanding, because we'll lose the context of the broadcast. So I don't know. Elder Lawyer, is there another way that I can round off what I'm trying to get people to discuss?
Well, I think it's been well explained as far as what we're looking for. I think there's a lot of generalizations where
But isn't that the problem, though? What we're hearing on through the radio responses, even though they are correct, and I like what Anya brought forth,
yeah,
isn't that an issue in itself that we can't even pin it down and identify what should be highlighted when the discussion is on the table?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, as I was saying, we're getting a lot of generalization. And even the points that are being brought, like, for example, the herbs and, you know, the medications and all those different things, we have to more so hone in on before we get up and take the herbs, before we get up and go to the medicine cabinet and take the medication, there's things on our minds when we wake up in the morning that we're lying to ourselves about or that's being lied about in our community. What are those things? Let's not focus on the external things. Let's focus on the internal things that we know we lie to ourselves about or that the community lies to themselves about that need to be really addressed.
Yeah, what we can actually control. Like here's an example. I said earlier, the pride of life and other things have gotten us off into a very bad trajectory going downward, right? And we began to worship the Queen Mother of Heaven, which is Semiramis, the Virgin Mother of Nimrod. And we started doing this without our men. We started dealing with these things as tradition way back when. And in order to get things back in order, we're going to have to swallow our pride, man and woman, and do what? Submit. So when we dwindle it down into those parameters, submission to the Most High. Now, Satan give us liberality. He give us freedom to do as thou wilt, knowing that 9 times out of 10 we'll serve our flesh, and through serving our flesh, it'll lead to hellfire. Right? So let's bring it into this parameter right here. Submission. How do we submit? Okay. Let's point to the lies that we lie to ourselves. And really, it's what we're lying. What we're doing is we're perpetuating the pride of life and not submitting to the Almighty. Let's just keep it in those parameters. Okay? Because I think I may be wording it where it's general, where people can bring in anything. But I'm seeing a lot of good things. I've got a lot of good comments that I wish was in the phone calls. So if you have commented and on the line, please state some of those things so that we can bring it back into bringing solution. Things we lie to ourselves about, and it destroys our community. Right? 401 area code. Let's go.
Oh, thank you so much. I didn't think I would get to my phone call. But real briefly, I just want to thank you guys. But I want to say our biggest lie in our community is that we lie to each other and we say that everything's okay when it's not okay. And when I say that you know, we, as black people in this ghetto, we would plan vacations to Disney World, Lego World, have cookouts, shop for name brand clothes, and we'd be on Section 8 receiving food stamps on welfare, and yet we continue on Social Security checks, and we'd be continue to think that everything's okay when it's not, and we keep living that lie. So I think that's the biggest lie in the community that we have to deal with, and stop being delusional. We're poor, but we try to live like we're not.
Oh, sister, what's your name?
The Lord.
Sister, I'm glad you brought that out, Dolores, because what you're saying in a nutshell, our priorities are out of whack, right? We should understand our circumstances, live according to our means, and build from there. Starting with God's law, right? Setting our families aright, budgeting our finances accordingly, according to the lifestyles we can actually afford, instead of dealing in this fake lying Snapchat, Instagram society, the vain society appearing in selfies and everything as if we got it going on, but yet you know we're suffering, lying to ourselves in this instant Instagram type of life. That's a good point you make, because listen, everyone would like to do things good for their children, right? But sometimes we spend and do things beyond our means when we can put those finances and all that and budget accordingly to do what's right to sustain our families long term. That's something I didn't even think about. Thank you. Anything else?
No, I'm just glad to be a Patriot member. Thank you, and have a great time.
Well, okay, I think we got the video up there with a guy, the rabbi debate, with a guy talking about what's going on with the rabbis and the little kids, you know, that little thing that where they wouldn't allow on YouTube, where he had to admit the truth. Just say it out loud, you know. So, hey, I'm gonna leave that there. Go to Patreon. I think that's up there in Jewish Confessions. I think y'all going to like that particular video that YouTube won't allow to be aired here. But thank you, sister. Great points.
Yep, shalom. Thank
great
you.
Great points. See, and that's the pride of life, and I think what she's saying in a nutshell, vanity. Knowing that our lives are all over the place and our families aren't stable where the Most High need us to be as far as getting ourselves together, but we're out there splurging and doing all these things as if we have our home intact with the Most High. Okay? On the surface, when people see us, it seems like everything is okay. And like the sisters say, we're telling people, oh, yeah, I'm living my best life. I'm okay. But yet we're lying to ourselves. Okay? And stressing ourselves financially to appear as everything's all right. But yet at night you're stressing, trying to keep up. And see, and Christ wanted to take all that pressure off of people. Stop trying to keep up with society. You must prioritize and budget according to your means so that you're not digging yourself a hole, and start with what? Submitting and getting our families together. And through the family, it builds legacy and wealth. Okay, and parents back in the day understood it was about building something for yourself, not just for yourself, but even if you have to sacrifice your life, it's so that when you die, your children has more than what you had throughout your life. You live to build a legacy for your child, and it's not like that. When we die, even though we look the part and look like we got it going on, our children must have to go, our children go to GoFundMe to bury us, even though every day we look like we had it going on. So it's about prioritizing and understanding that with this life and dealing with the Most High and submitting comes what? Sacrifice. So that my children will have more than what I had. But you can't have that if every day you're operating, going on trips and doing all of this, robbing Peter to pay Paul, just to keep up to make everyone on Facebook and other places believe you're living your best life. When really you don't have anything, we don't have anything to leave our children. Great point. 773 area code. 773 area code. Okay. Can they handle the truth?
Hey, can you hear me, Elder?
Shalom, you're loud and clear. Your name, you're live with the Gathering of Christ Church.
This is Brother Carrad of Dallas. I guess one of the things that I see is we're so comfortable with, you know, having children without establishing the foundation of a family first. And, you know, we've got to go.
That's
so comfortable. We've gotten so comfortable with having the children, and we have a fear of actually being married and having that family unit for that children. We have more of a fear of marriage than we do of having the babies.
Great point. So here's a question now. How do we break? See, that's something that we can do something about. How do we break that generational curse?
Well, I mean, I think it really goes back to the scripture, you know, that, you know, you train up a child in the way they should go, then when they're old, they won't depart from it. You know, having the men teach the young men how to be men, and the older women teaching the younger women how to be women. And, you know, just establishing that value that, you know, you marry, then you carry.
Great point. I mean, that would fix so many ills in our community, and it starts with us talking about it, but then executing it. And but what we can do is we can execute it starting with what? Starting with our children. There's nothing we can do about what's going on out there, but we can, that's a problem that can be fixed by setting a standard for our children. What will be accepted for this family, and what will not? What will definitely not be accepted here? Okay, these are the things that get you on the out with this family. So a standard for family according to the Bible must be reestablished. Great point. Thank you, brother. Great point. Okay, now, we don't have to piggyback off his point. Whatever you got already, we're going to just open up the lines because I see a lot of people. So we're going to try to go down the line one at a time. And please quantify. Keep things within, in a state your point in a timely fashion. 904 area code. Let's go.
Hi, Elder.
That's me.
Oh, hi, this is Sharon. So glad that you could take my call. I'm in the academy. This is going to be my seventh session, and I really am enjoying it.
Thank you, Sharon.
My cousin has joined, and my girlfriend, probably has 25 years, she's on there as well. I'm going to make this really quick, okay? I think the issue that I have to mention is that because it affects our little boys and girls, our definition of beauty and what looks good on women, this is what our boys and girls are seeing. We're going through so much with our hair, you know, putting things in our head that damages our scalp just to fit in. So now we have to come back to why are we not valuing ourselves enough? So there seems to be a lack of modesty in dressing. And so that's the one thing. And then the other thing, and I'll, you know, say our choice in the music that our children are hearing, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Those are two deep points. Let me ask you, sister, straight out, and I'm going to deal with the music part second, right? But when I go inside North Philly, I noticed that there's lines around the corner when it comes to these places that used to be for hair products. But when you look, it used to be we can buy stocking caps and wave grease. But now they all the shelves is filled with hair. Mind you, maybe it's the blind man. I'm not a woman. But let me ask you this. Here's a trade-off, right? If sisters could have all that long, beautiful hair that grows out of their own scalp, right, without purchasing, and it's their hair. But the trade-off for that they would have to give up independence, according to this world, and submit to a man. Which one would a woman choose? Would they choose the long, beautiful hair, submission under a man, and follow the Most High? Or would they say, I'd rather have my independence and not submit and go to the Asians for? I'm asking you as a woman, which one would you choose? The Most High said today, sister, if you get yourself together and write with me, I'll give you hair down to the foot, and you'll be absolutely beautiful, and it will cover everything. You wouldn't need the Chinese or the Asians for hair anymore. I'll give you your hair back if you submit. What do you think will happen?
I'm going to choose the one to go with the Most High. He's always right.
Well, sister, I'm going to tell you, that's in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Where if they do right, he'll give it back. It's in the scriptures, actually.
Yeah.
But the whole, because with doing right, with the obedience to the Most High, comes with a lifestyle.
That's right.
Okay, and it comes with a confidence that, and it goes down to that being accepted by the Most High more so than the cares of this world and how the world view you. It tell you in the scriptures why in Isaiah the third chapter, why the Most High took the scab from the sisters, Isaiah 3. It says it's because of a hardy spirit, being proud.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to take the hair and I will discover your secret parts. Now he did that in hopes that a sister will understand something was void there and get right with him and submit.
Yes, yes. You know, Elder, there's a YouTuber.
So it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yes.
There's a YouTuber who, she's a very godly woman. She's out of London, actually. And I went back and looked at a bunch of her videos going back from to like 2015. And the Most High had her get rid of her makeup and the fake hair. And this woman, if you see her now, you see a humongous difference from when she first started out. And how the Most High has made her so beautiful. No makeup, none of that hair. She is, her name is Sister Carrie Ann, if anybody wants to check her out and see for yourself. Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's this young lady where a father, and they show this father putting all these products in the young lady's hair. This, and it's not colorism. This girl is darker than I am over in Africa.
Yeah.
And her hair is all the way down, you know. And I've seen young girls where the hair grows down naturally. You understand. But again, I don't want to go too far in that. That's a conversation in of itself. But I don't think sisters know or being taught the fact that they can have all that if they come back to the Most High. Of course, there's a transitional period where you're transitioning. And so who cares? Because who cares about the world? You get it right with the Most High. But all in all, if you come back to the Most High, he'll bring the hair back, but it comes with submission. The hair was taken because of a haughty spirit where women became too proud to listen to the men. That's when it started. You understand? But again, the same way the Most High is getting the remnant of men together that he's satisfied with, he's going to do the same for women. So, and I think a lot of women are starting to understand that too. And they don't even know in Isaiah 3, it talks about that. Really, these stores are actually, believe it or not, they're actually grandizing themselves and perpetuating, compounding the situation, knowing that that curse is in the Bible. So now they're gonna incentivize it and say, listen, we'll cover it. So now you don't have to do the work that it takes to get it back according to the Most High. Right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there. And guess what? And what I also hear is, and I understand that when people say, well, okay, other nations do it. Well, okay, I don't got nothing to do with that. We're talking about what the Most High is saying. Okay? We're talking about what the Most High is doing. And it's time for us to take accountability and get ourselves right with him, regardless of what the Gentiles are doing. That's how we got here. Doing what the Gentiles do. Okay, but go ahead. You have the last word.
Well, maybe if we won't do it for ourselves, at least do it for our children who are seeing this.
And see, that's what when I mentioned it, and I got a lot of blowback when I talked about it. I like to even stay here because there's many more. This is not a hill that I'm looking to fight on. But, yeah, I got a lot of pushback. But all in all, we just trying to help the women. Right. And because we know that our daughters are watching, and if they see everybody in front of the camera and that's the example of beauty and they're growing up looking for that attention, then that vanity becomes normalized. And so I'm glad you brought that out, sister. Thank you. All right.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. Great points. 678 area code. Six, seven, eight, area code. You're live. Shalom. How are you?
Shalom, Elder.
Bless you. Oh, I think I'm playing in the background.
Okay. Yeah, Shalom, Elder. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Shalom. My name is Sister Sonia from the Atlanta Body.
Bless you.
I think one of the... Thank you. You too, brother. I think one of the issues that we have in the family is mothers that let their son sell drugs and know that they're selling drugs. And I think it leads to other avenues. It they groan for making more money, which takes them into the industry. If they didn't learn anything at home, it propels when they're in the industry. And I just wanted to be quick about that. I see that a lot with parents not really, really making their children accountable for that kind of wrongdoing. And it leads to taking money out of the home when they have to get their children out of jail or the fines or they're out in the streets. It brings worries to the parents. The fathers can't deal. They gotta they remove themselves from the home. So I think that is one issue that I have seen down in generation. We have glamorized it with pimps selling drugs, and you see all of these rappers in the industry. They started out as dope dealers. And that's who they are now, and they can't even speak back to their community. They know it's wrong, and I just see that they have dug a ditch for our community.
Sister, I'm glad you brought that out, because I've witnessed that. I've seen how the crack epidemic and how it started. I was living on 15th and Diamond when it happened, and how it devastated our communities. And I sat back and I've seen sisters, you know, with their children, knowing their children were selling drugs straight out, right? And I've seen situations, I've witnessed it, because living in North Philly, the majority of the places we were living in were what, housing authority, public housing, where the fathers weren't supposed to be living there anyway, right? So if the fathers tried to say something, it muted the man, where the man had to leave the house. I've witnessed that firsthand, where the man couldn't say anything because the kid was bringing in the money and the father was muted to the point where the fathers had to leave the home if they tried to fight against what was going on. So that's another thing we've hit. We've hit that culture and really have glorified that culture to some degree. All right. So I'm glad you brought that out. And we have to face that has nothing to do with the white man. And I hear everyone out there talking about, well, the CIA brought it in and all that. Yeah. But the CIA would not have been able to perpetuate that or sell the drug if there wasn't a willing participant to actually be on the corners risking their life to do it. And customers who would buy it or who are coaxed into buying it, living what? In an impoverished state. Okay. So, hey, we have to call a spade and really point it out, right? Thank you, sister. I really appreciate that.
All praises. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Now, even though I understand what the sister said, right, when it comes to a natural person, we don't subscribe to the advice of, you know, referring it to other people who might not align with the Most High's ideals. There's more to it than just the outward appearance. And that person, sister, you mentioned, I think I've ran into her before, and her talking points are totally against the Most High, okay, and is, to some degree, some of those things are, it's anti-man. So I wanted to put that out there, okay? We don't deal, we're men here. We don't deal with any anti-man rhetoric. So it doesn't matter how good someone may look on the outside. I wanted to put that out there. Okay? 443 area code.
Shalom.
Shalom. How are you?
I'm well. This is Sister Yakini from DMV.
Hey, the floor is yours.
Hey, how you doing? So, what I think that we don't want to hear the truth about is that we really don't want family. Because in my
Let's stop it right now. I'm going to let you go, but we need a pause on that one. Let's pause. I mean, how did you come to that conclusion? I need to hear this. This may be good. We say we want family, but you as a woman is stating that from your view, we really don't want family. What do you mean by that?
Because if you have, just say, and I grew up in Baltimore City, okay? There's a lot of people that have baby fathers, right? They'd rather stick their baby father behind them and have the government to be their father. Because if they really wanted to have the father and the man to be there, if they had to rely on the assistance, more than likely both of them had to rely on the system. So why didn't they go to the system together as a family, mother, father, and child, instead of letting the system tell them, put the man out the way? Because the system will allow mother, father, and child to be on the system together, get public housing together, but people refuse to do that. So the only conclusion I can
When you say people refuse to do that, you must be talking in particular when it comes to, on this side, sisters.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if that's the case.
Sisters in the inner city.
Okay, sisters in the inner city, so what you're saying, and I'm going to let you explain yourself, but you're hitting on something here. It seems like automatically that's empowering one over the other. That's power.
Come on.
But go on.
So how you going to tell me, because my background, I work with, and shelters and all this homeless, and I deal with this on a daily basis. So I'm discussing this with people, and I'm saying, okay, it's another way to do this. If you want your family together, it's a choice you make. You know, it's intentional. Well, I'm going to go and get this assistant without the man, or I'm going to go by myself. When you already been informed of the decisions that you can make, one or the other. And people continue to make these decisions. Even in all our communities, including Philly, they have programs where they try to keep the family together, but the woman make the decision to walk without the man. So that's the conclusion I can come to, is that they don't really want family. They say they do. They want a fairy tale story, like you talk about Instagram and all that, and the people on there with their children and family and all that. If they can't have that, then they can say, they go back to, I can do bad by myself, which is not, it's not the way.
Man, I mean, that's deep. I mean, sister, even coming from a sister, I'll say this, and I'll put this out there, that I think sisters are coming around, and I'm hopeful. But I think sisters went through a phase where they thought, or they started to believe that men were accessories. I can't be a woman in my circle without one. It's really how I'm viewed amongst them. But he's an accessory, because I can't be around this circle and not have one, because then I'll be looked upon as this circle as less than. So then it comes down to where we getting our validation from. You understand? And I think women are starting to realize that type of view is backward. Men are an accessory. Men are not bags. Okay? And sometimes women, if they around a circle with other girls and they have husbands or whatever, it's like, okay, I need to get one of those. And it's more so of how she's being viewed as being left out of that circle than getting under that man's circle and creating their own circle called family. I mean, that's a good point, sister. Thank you.
The water.
Yeah, Thank you. Good point. I mean, I'm going to sit and listen back at this because I'm sure these are topics that I can actually touch on with scriptures when I go into the family. Can family survive in the academy? I'm going to look back at this because I'm just glad that brothers and sisters are really willing to actually discuss it openly. Because believe it or not, how hard this may hurt, how hurt this might be, we're ripping the Band-Aid off, but all in all, having the conversation comes with healing. It's not about blaming, right? Let's go to the next one. I see you there, Sunshine. I'll bring you there in a second. Let's see. 312 area code.
Shalom, Elder. This is Sister Hadassah from the Chicago body. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm amazingly blessed. It's a blessing to be a part of the body. So all praises to the Most High for you and what you're doing. I want to speak to, yes, sir. So the thing that I want to speak to, there's two, and I'll be brief, but you mentioned it, and it's mentioned so often. There's two things, okay, but they both fall under one. That first thing is, because I come from the church, the law was done away with. Now, mm-hmm. here's the problem for me. My mother is a pastor, which she not supposed to be. Now, she read the same Bible. Okay, she read the same Bible that I read. As a matter of fact, when I was wayward in the world, she told me I needed to spend more time reading my Bible. And then when I did, and I started to change, right, started cutting out stuff because I'm reading it in the Bible, which is the same Bible that she's reading, then I'm crazy, right? But I'm seeing, when I'm asking you, when it says, I believe it's in Corinthians, I don't know which chapter, I think it's 14, but it says that women are to be silent and to not usurp authority over men. How you a pastor in a church? You understand? That's number one. And don't give me excuses. I live my life with excuses for so long, so I know them when I see them and I hear them. The men not standing up. They are stood up. They not here, but they stood up somewhere, or else he wouldn't tell us to operate, can't do. That's number one. The other thing with the law was done away. Okay. The other thing with the law was done away with, Elder, is this. Homosexuality. Okay,
whoa.
So growing up in the church, okay, playing the drums, or now since they're giving them birth certificates, now she wants everybody to refer to her as this other name, and I refuse. I'm not you. I'm not referring to you as bro. I'm not referring to you as him. And she has told me, and she has told me, oh well, don't call me that. My name is not that. Look, I'm not gonna live your life with you. You know what the Bible say? You came up in the church. We was at the same church. You know it's not right. So that's just the two things that I wanted to touch on.
Man, hey, this conversation. At least we're putting it out there because I believe us highlighting these out publicly is the beginning of healing. Gone are the times ignoring all these things, right? So I wanted to put that out there. Sister, thank you. This is the beginning of healing, talking about it outwardly, right out. And I want to say this, and we have to understand this too, all right? Not to make no excuses, but in the community, sometimes when you're living in a dog-eat-dog type of society, it's survival of the fittest. So when we look at some of the choices sisters are making, we can look back at it and say, well, okay. But a lot of their actions that they do is to protect themselves is out of fear of going through what they see their mother or others went through, having to depend on somebody. So, but you can't live your whole life and shape your whole life out of fear. You're going to have to trust eventually to be free, to be a daughter of Zion, to actually know what it is to really love and have someone be vulnerable and have someone love and die for you. So I can understand a lot of times women grow up, they get pregnant, and automatically they know exactly what to do because their mother tell them, make sure you get WIC. This is where you go to get food stamps. That become their guidance on how to look out for themselves, not being taught, nah. You wait, you get married, you have a plan together for legacy, and then have children. So it's women are taught to live out of fear and prepare themselves, you know, and cushion themselves so that if they're hurt, they can still survive through it financially and otherwise. So we have to look at that component too. How a lot of their scenarios is made out of fear. But now it's time for us to take those fears and everything else, put it on the Most High and trust. And know that if you do anything out of fear, it prohibits growth. I wanted to put that out there too, because we just look at the end result of it and say, well, women, 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 this, women, that. Listen, to them, it's how they survive. It's how they can get through because, you know, they sit there bandaging each other up, people crying and hurting, brokenhearted, and they're there to help these other women that have gone through things depending on people. And then they looking at their situation and saying, okay, it's time for me to adjust myself so that I'm not here getting bandaged up through hurting all these things. So we can't act like that component doesn't exist either. But still, you cannot build a circumstance long-term out of fear. It just can't happen. When you care for someone, when something, there's always going to be a level of vulnerability when it comes to trusting someone, and that's what it takes. Okay? I just wanted to put that out there. All right? It's out there. I'm just trying to be a little balanced and let you know that it's not an excuse for all of that's out there, because a lot of this stuff is inexcusable, but that component exists. All right? 323 area code.
Hey, Shalom. I think the biggest lie, this might ruffle some feathers, but it's right on. I think the biggest lie in the Black community is that people in the Black community actually love their children. I don't think so when it comes down to the action. So I know this might ruffle feathers. So the reason why I say this is because you have a lot of women that are single parents. They have multiple, you know, baby fathers. And I've dealt with them, and I asked them because I see the hardship that they're dealing with and the immense responsibility. And I'm like, yo, if you could go back in time and push them back in your womb and do it all over again, would you have them? And I'll be honest, some of them will try to lie and say, no, you know, I would never. But in actuality, once we spend a little bit more time, they're like, you know what? I wish if I would have went back, I probably would have done it differently and not have done it. Also, if you're going to have children, right, you have to have a child in the mindset knowing that that child is going to become an adult one day, rearing that child for that reason. And I think so many, the brothers and the sisters, have children either one out of absolute irresponsibility or two, wanting love, and they don't know what love is yet, and three, thinking that it might cause them to, it might be a bridge for a relationship that they've never had the opportunity to experience when they were coming up.
Well, let me ask you this, because then it'll go down to, okay, then how do we break this? We can point to what is, but how do we, going forward, make sure the next generation don't suffer what we have witnessed?
Are you asking me, or is that rhetorical?
Oh, no, I'm asking you. The floor is yours.
Okay. Yeah, great question. I've thought about that a lot, actually. To be quite frank, I have a daughter, one kid. I never really wanted a kid, to be quite honest. I really wanted to work on myself. There were certain career ambitions that I had, and I felt that I was too selfish to have a child, right? But, you know, as a young man, I did, and my daughter's a young adult now. And her thing is,
okay,
she's learned because she's like, you know what, Dad, it kind of makes sense that she's looking at how the world is. She's looking at the dysfunction in the community, even abroad, you know, even though she's, you know, she's quite a sophisticated, articulate young woman.
Yeah,
she sees that there's.
I know you things can get long winded. We're up against the clock.
Yeah, you know I can go.
Yeah, but,
I think okay,
yeah,
but let me shorten it.
Yeah.
One word. Take
okay,
responsibility.
Here it,
that's it.
No, it's like this. Okay. Boom. The example is in the Bible already. We have to be able to admit to our children, okay. Even though I was able to do things to work this out, and things may seem good, I don't want you doing it my way. Okay? We can't do it our way. It was through the grace of the Most High that I've made it to the point where I have the truth and I understand the right way to do it. And if I had the truth growing up, like I'm giving it to you, I wouldn't have chose this life exactly the way you think is normal. So here it is. This is what God said a family should be. Son, daughter. And don't look at mom and dad and say, you did it. Because they'll look at you and say, well, you did it this way and it turned out right. But like, well, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In order for a legacy to be built where you'll have more than me, And my name goes on in righteousness, not just in heaven, on earth, my name is proclaimed because of your righteousness. That's the torch you carry by doing it right according to my God. You got an opportunity to do this at an earlier age. We had to learn this stuff as, you know, we had to paddle as we were making the boat as we were going on water, drowning. But our children shouldn't have to, because they were able to get read and understanding they were Israelites and know the responsibility that comes with it. Our children are our legacy. So now it's like, well, no, don't look at me and say, well, okay, I'm going to pattern myself that way. No, because there's a lot of things, if I look back, like you mentioned, brother, that I would have done differently.
Right.
Do it how God said we should do it. How he gave the law, statutes, and commandments to Moses, this is what you do. And like I told my son, I'm like, son, you have to find a woman that's after the Most High's heart. A girl that fears the Most High and sees the Most High in you and love the Most High in you. Where it's not about what you can, you know, you being an accessory. It's about evaluating what you have to bring. And guess what? My son right now, right? Many girls just leave him because he up front telling the girl if he care about her, well, I'm caring about you, thinking about long term. And that's
right.
Scaring a lot of young ladies. But
yep.
They're like, what?
Yep.
We can't have a hot girl summer? But
right.
They don't, because it's weird to them. Right. So what I'm saying is a legacy. We have to tell our children, don't do it the way you think your parents did it. Go into that Bible and do it the way God intended.
But see, that's the other thing, Elder. I don't think now what you're doing and what GLCC is an extreme rarity, because the way that you break the scriptures down, you make the scriptures real and not like some mythological fairy tale book that we read in high school, you know what I mean, while we were learning about Greek mythology, you know what I mean? So I think that, right? I don't know if a lot of Christians in the community, they say they believe in God and the Most High. But I think it's just like them, like the tooth fairy or something, though. They really, truly, 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 truly believe in the scriptures. I think when they read it, I think it's just like fairy tales to them, but it's become tradition and it's so deep rooted because their actions are so far from the truth, because I was that way as a young man.
Okay. Well, I gotta go to the next call. I'll talk with you soon. Gotcha. Great points, brother. I really appreciate you. All right. So, great points. All right. Later. Yeah. And like someone says, Deuteronomy 6, instilling the law, statutes, and commandments in our children. That's what it's about. All right. Let's see. Who am I missing here? Let's see. I got you. 1 second. I'll bring you in 1 second, Sunshine. 773 area code.
You spoke to me already, Elder.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Let's see here. 219 area code. Shalom.
Hey, Shalom, Elder. How you doing?
Shalom. Did you talk earlier or no?
No, I did not. I did not.
Okay, you lied. Talk to us.
First and foremost, I want to give double honor to the elders and also to everybody else in the body. I'm my brother Tavar from UCC Chicago. I just believe that this topic is really, really deep. Because, one thing I realized is that one crucial...
Do me a favor, brother, because I'm struggling between your voice and whatever else is going on in the background there. Am I playing in the background?
Now?
What's going on there?
No,
okay,
can you hear
go
me
on.
Now? All right,
yeah, go ahead.
So I was going into how the way we deal with a lot of hypocrisy and accomplices to sin within our community, on how we would sell each other out and deal with our own individualities within our families to become successful and just really deal with outward lifestyles to just empower ourselves. And it's a scripture that I had on. It's a really quick scripture that I wanted to read that go into how the way when it comes down to
brother,
Christ.
Brother, you can only get one precept with one verse because
okay.
We don't have time for a dissertation.
Yes, sir. All right, so this is Lucas and Mark chapter 4, verse 25. And it says, in no wise speak against the truth. All right, yes, sir. It says, in no wise speak against the truth, but be in base of the error of thy ignorance. When we're looking at ourselves, I just believe that when we look at ourselves and examine ourselves and actually speak the truth to our people, we'll be dealing with our people within our community to actually show them this understanding.
But the topic is, can they handle the truth?
If we actually show forth the example of that, because actually I understand that when we're actually talking to our people from sometimes, like when we have the understanding, sometimes we are in fear to what we may be looked at, instead of being like Christ and showing forth that strong hold on the commandments, because I know I used to be like that. Instead of just showing forth those commandments, showing forth that strong nature to our people and actually holding back, we can actually give them that understanding to actually give them the insight on how to follow the scriptures properly. I think
okay,
we can
brother.
Get them to actually understand that.
Well, thank you, brother. Great point. All right. Great point. Put you on hold there. And right now, we're running out of time. I'm bringing you in right now. After this call, I'll bring you in, Sunshine, and then we'll conclude our broadcast for this evening. 804 area code.
Okay, brother. Well, thank you, brother. Great point. All right. Great point. Just one hole there. And right now, we are running out of time. I'm bringing right now.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, sister, you all right?
Yes. I had the TV on and I had to turn it down before I turned the mute button off the phone. My apologies.
But what I wanted
to bring to the table is I think that it's a generational curse with the black nation where I don't understand why a mother or a father would say to a child, when you get 18, you're getting out of my house. Why is that? What? Why why do a child have to get out when they turn 18? I could never wrap my head around that. And it happens all the time, time and time again.
Sister, I got the answer for you.
What is that?
They're grown.
I know they're grown, but everybody that is grown of age is not grown of mind. And everybody don't learn at the same level as everybody else. So this child from the age of like probably 14 all the way to their 18, they're constantly hearing they got to get out when they're 18. And they don't even have time to prepare because they're so frightened of what they're going to face once they get out.
Well, sister, listen. Here's the reality of the matter. I don't think that's a black community thing.
Really?
No.
I've seen it a lot. Asians, they love family.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. There's many people who tell it's and it's not absolute. It's not like the parents aren't going to be there for the children after 18 if they're needed. But you can't have a child believing that they're going to be able to sustain and live in your home with all those desires that it comes with being a grown person living with their parents. That's not realistic. And see, listen to what I'm saying. That's where man comes in at. A man comes in and say, listen, babe, I understand what you're saying, but right. No, when they get of age, they're doing grown people stuff. So, sister, you know, in our community, when our young men and women are 17 and 18, they're in your home doing stuff they should do if they had their own place.
Right.
Right?
Right. Now I can understand that. No, but I just don't see that how it has to be a law.
Stick with me, though. You know that's correct over 90% of the time.
You're right. Yeah, you're correct.
Now,
you're correct with that.
I'm just saying,
how come it has to be a law?
Okay, sister, listen to me, though. A law or not. Let's get to that talking point. Because children know when they have mothers or parents that they'll be able to utilize or use into perpetuity.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you something. No, so I'm going to – there were some rules, and the children of Israel were kicked out. Right now, we was picking cotton down in Virginia because our father kicked us out of the house.
Wow.
Now, that is called God.
True.
Because we wanted to do what we wanted to do. Right? So what's happening is, sister, and this is what's going on, there's a lot of pacification going, and there's a lot of enabling going. And that's not the child's fault. I had no problem when I was growing up and my father said, listen, the way you're operating up in here, getting older, you're not going to be up here too long. And I didn't feel offended.
That's a different story.
Oh, okay, sister, listen.
See, Elder, that's a different story. I'm not talking about, getting prepared for it.
No, sister, listen to me. What I'm saying is I've seen women in our community enable scenarios that didn't benefit the children long term. Okay, and that's
right.
Because you have to make a stance where children will actually understand that, okay, I need to start making moves and plans as an adult because I know I'm not going to have mommy and daddy to depend on for the rest of my life. So I'm going to place you on all. I wanted to put that out there because this is what we have. This is what we have, and what happens is these young men grow up like that. And a guy say, yo, you got to get out of here. You ain't going to be up in the house. And the mom say, well, hold up. That's my child, whatever the case is. And he's going to be here as long as I'm here. And now that young boy get raised, and that becomes the man most sisters out there complain about. Deservedly so. All right. 340 area code.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Hi, hi, elders. So, elders. Oh, okay. Bless
come
you,
on,
elders.
Come on. We're what? Wrapping it up. We're wrapping it up. So take your deep breath and let it out.
Okay, elders. What Elder Lawyer said about repentance and humbling ourselves is at the core of our need as a people. We don't want to humble ourselves. That's the thing. So pride cometh before a fall. And as a woman, as most women, we were raised to be the so-called independent woman, like you mentioned, which is a terrible trick that the nations use to take hold of our own, like our whole nation, by propping us up. The woman has like, it's like a multi-tiered kind of wickedness that the children of Israel are in, because it's perpetual operations of how we act. We women are magnifying our office against or above our men, and the nations have created this disorder from the head of the house down to the children, but we women have taken hold of the reins and this disorder. And we refuse to let it go. So it has become like a trickle-down effect that helps one menstruous monster after the other to spring forward out of the wombs of the daughters of Zion and loose as vipers that's twice the children of hell onto our entire nation and the whole society. So the man is not in his rulership place, and the woman usurping his position and falsely sitting on a king's throne does not want to give up what doesn't belong to her in the first place. And we women adore the power that has become kind of like an idolatry. Like, we are so twisted that we feel as though the position that was never sanctified as ours is now justified as ours because Massa has said so. So, and though the Most High has never said so, and now we're operating as a kind of like queenish king, and this was never meant to be. And with the brazenness of our women, we help the nations to try to break our own man in this system. And this is not a permanent brokenness, and maybe it's forced over time and with the extension of the tribulation we've been in, but either after such a captivity, we have been taught, all of us, to roll over and succumb to whatever Satan wants, and we all have to be, we feel like we're comfortable with this position, and it's false, and because of this comfort and this slavery, trusting oppression, and staying thereon, choosing the wide road, what seems like the easy street to the culture that's like Babylonian deception, and not being honest about the love that we have over Babylon and its abominations, and this deep-seated desire to love this world that Satan has constructed, you know, it has been this way. But I know that Israel, we're built strong, and we can, if we choose to, handle the truth. So it starts with us as women understanding our femininity, learning and keeping our place as women, and knowing that this is our strength, accepting the fact that we must be admonished and corrected by the kings of our castle and the men of the Most High's pasture. And it ends with all of us admitting what we want, and be it hot or cold, so that we are clear, we're completely clear on what side of the line drawn in the sand we all are on, so that the children that we raise, you know, we can raise them above the rat nest and break the generational curse, like someone else mentioned. And as we speak, the men of Israel continue to rise. So either by will or force, we will get on code, especially us women. And I'm grateful for the time, chance, and the change towards righteousness. All praise be to the Most High. And that's all I wanted to say, Elder. Bless you,
Kawada.
And praise the Most High.
Kawada.
Bless you, Elder. Praise the Most High.
There goes sunshine.
Praise
there goes sunshine. All right.
Praise
there you
Ahaya.
Go.
All praises to the Most High. Praise
the
Ahaya.
All right, sunshine. There goes sunshine. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. All right. Lawyer, hold tight.
Yes, sir.
I need you to get Ecclesiastes 7 and 25, because it's time to quantify this and put an explanation point that I think will tie all of this in together, with the Most High given the last word, and would resolve a lot of the talking points that were all over the place, but really it came to some level of what you would call confessions. Where it says, confess your faults. Here's the fault that's going on amongst us that we need to fix. And by putting it out there immediately, That's the first stages in doing what? Getting back on code with the God of Israel. I need you to Ecclesiasticus, Elder Lawyer, and I'm going to end it with this, and we're going to give an announcement after this. Read the 25th, start at the 23rd verse, Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, Elder Lawyer. And let's start at the 23rd verse.
Yes, sir. Hast thou children?
Hast thou children?
Instruct them and bow down their neck from their youth.
Instruct them and bow down their neck from thy youth. You must instill the fear of God in our children. Okay? Bow down their neck means listen. If you're going the way of the world and you're trying to follow what's going on out there in Instagram and all that other stuff, I'm whipping that tail. Okay? Straight out. I don't care what the government is saying. I don't care what your tail is going to get whipped. That's number one. That means reprimanding our children in the fear of God. Read.
Hast thou daughters? Have a care over their body, and show not thyself cheerful toward them.
It says, has thou daughters? Do you have daughters? Have a care of their body. Be mindful of them as they grow into a woman. And understand that they have desires and all those things, so now it's time to start moving them from father to husband. But then here's a point. It says what? It says, a care of their body and show not thyself cheerful toward them, which means we cannot be operating with our children like they're our sisters or brothers.
Mm.
That line should always be there. And I know black don't crack. And we like hearing, oh, man, that's your son, man. I thought that was your brother. Oh, man, I thought that was your sister. But the children have to always know that there's a line that they don't cross. And we lower ourselves as parents when we try to get on the level as siblings, as some level of badge and honor because we look young. No. It says right here. Write out in the scriptures the mistakes we make. And show not thyself cheerful toward them. It's not like you can't have fun with them, but they have to know that there's a line. You don't play with me. Okay? I'm the same cat that had that switch on your behind a few years ago. Because children will try you. They'll get older and see how much space you will give them as adults to become your peer or equal. That don't ride. Read. And unfortunately, this happens more so with women than men. Well, nah, that ain't your sister. That's your daughter.
Mm.
Okay. Read on.
Yes, sir. Verse 25. Marry thy daughter, and so thou shalt have performed a weighty matter.
The Bible says, marry thy daughter, and so shalt thou have performed a weighty matter. We done got our priorities out of whack in the United States and in the Western world, which is sick Babylon, where we don't encourage women to find men to grow and to progress their life. They're told to go get an education and find a man later. And the parents are responsible for that whack advice. Because by the time they're into their body trying to figure out what's going on, by the time they're in college and all that, it changes who they are. And now they have to go through all these different emotions and influences and relationships and now carry all of that to a man. So no, when a girl is growing up, she is to be cared for and directed differently than a son. And I know people don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. Women are suffering because we're trying to push women out like we push men out. It's unfair to them when they were supposed to grow from their father under a young man chosen by the family. And any career they would, she would find would be within that setting.
Marry thy daughter, and so shalt thou have performed a weighty matter, but give her to a man of understanding.
Read that again. But do what?
But give her to a man of understanding.
But give her to a man of understanding. A man usually of an older age. Because women usually choose through what? Their feelings or whether or not, or the exterior or whether or not a guy is cute. Not whether or not this guy can sustain her and build a legacy with her long term. She's not even thinking about that. Okay? So it's up to the father to get in front of it and say, well, no. This is what this guy is going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now, and you're going to thank me for choosing this particular man. Because what you see now in that cute little guy, 15, 16, 20, 25-year-old, he's not going to look like that at 40. Mm. Okay. So if it's about the looks, you're messing up. Okay. But this man is a learned man who fear the Most High, who will guide you in righteousness. And because he's a man of the Most High, he's going to care for what he put in his body. And by the time he's 45 or 50, he may even look better than what he looked now. So stop dealing with the outward appearance and trying to this cute thing. And this is what the parents were doing. They were seeing people down the line, 10, 15 years, and wasn't just allowing girls with puppy love to choose relationships. Read that last piece again.
Yes, sir. Sirach 7 and 25.
Now, I'm just giving y'all a piece, but when we go into can family survive in the academy, that's why I wanted to make the announcement. This is a piece of it. But man, it's going to be nothing but just, it's going to be nuclear. How we're going to quantify the family from the heavens and how it was intended before the fall of Adam and Eve. How that's why Satan looked to destroy the family and God in early to try to separate us from our legacy and purpose on earth with the Most High. But with this, what we're reading gets our nation back on code. But wait till you see what we're putting together, man. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be crazy in the academy. But go ahead. Say that last piece again.
Yes, sir. Marry thy daughter, and so shalt thou have performed a weighty matter, but give her to a man of understanding.
But give her to the man, a man of understanding. It was up to the family to find the husband for a daughter. It's no circle of friends, ain't who you go to school with. You know, no. That's why even when we were growing up, if you were interested in somebody, guess what? He had to sit at the table of your father, where rules were laid out. Okay, yeah, y'all going to the drive-through movie? I'll tell you what, this is how you hold hands with my daughter. Because that's all will be going on. Okay? So if there were instructions when the fear of God came first, when it came to families. It's all over the place now, but we're not too late. Read.
26. Hast thou a wife after thy mind?
Hast thou a wife after thine mind? Because a wife is a help meet. She was made to do what? To help meet the standards of the man. Okay. Read it again.
Hast thou a wife after thy mind?
Hast thou a wife after thine mind, which is a wife who's cooperative, who would cooperate with you?
Forsake her not.
Forsake her not. That means you have a submissive woman who's on code with your plan. Don't forsake that woman. But check this out. Read.
But give not thyself over to a light woman.
Give not over thyself to a light woman. That's a woman who may look good, but her head isn't right. She's shallow. She don't have direction. Okay? A matter of fact, her whole thing could be about what you can do for her, and it's about her. Because she's light in the head, not realizing she was made for you. See? So you can't give over yourself to a light woman. And by the same token, a woman shouldn't give herself to a man who has screws loose. We're in Ecclesiasticus. Now, I can't talk about it all because we have much to break down in the academy in of itself, okay? So we're going to leave it at this one, 27.
Yes, sir, verse 27. Honor thy father with thy whole heart
And you notice we're living in a system that was taught that it's okay to dishonor or talk down on men. We have to cancel that thought. We have to cancel that. Read that again.
Honor thy father with thy whole heart and forget not the sorrows of thy mother.
When it says forget not the sorrows of thy mother, never forget the pain that it took to bring you in the earth. That it was pain always, almost unto death. That's how much she loved and brought you forth. It was through pain of death. So when you're reflecting on your parents and thinking about certain things when it comes to how they don't meet up in certain areas and how your upbringing wasn't pristine, remember that she had pain unto death to bear you. And if we can just take Ecclesiasticus 7 as a starting point, we can begin to mend the children of Israel. Thank you, Other Lawyer. With that, I'm going to say shalom. It's going to be great. Who's Edom this coming Sunday? You don't want to miss it. That's right. We have more clips coming for GOCC Media. Thanks for supporting the church. I want to say a shout out to all the blessed elders, bishops, deacons, the wives who all are behind us, and the family of the GOCC throughout the four corners of the earth, and those who haven't become a part of this, that are sharing in this word and this awakening, shalom. Let me see. Did Gabar say, is that Gabar? Hold on. I don't know if I can say this. But with that, I hope this was a groundbreaking beginning of a conversation that will heal our nation. Stay strong, stay prayed up, sin not. We will soon see Zion. Thank you, brothers, and thank you all who called in, and let's build. And you know what? You know I got to end it with, that's right, the Most High's calling back Israel. All right, shalom, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir. Shalom.